everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show. Welcome to the Buckmaster Program, midweek edition. It's Wednesday, the 7th of December, 2022, the 81st anniversary of the Japanese attack on the Hawaiian Islands. If you're ever on the island of Oahu, please take the Pearl Harbor trip out to the memorial, the USS Arizona Memorial, where you will stand and look down at the wreckage of the ship and still see oil to this day seeping from the Arizona. It is a very moving experience. Buckmaster will celebrate 12 full years on the radio. We launch year 13. Lucky 13, I hope, in January. So that would start us into our 35th year on Tucson Television and Radio. The Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. The radio station is 1030 KVOI, K Voice, for trusted news and talk worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com. Our live line, when we do our telephone interviews, which we will do momentarily, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now to the Tucson City Council offices of Ward 6, where there is a very impressive plastic block tree that is out front of Steve Kasachek's office. But I understand, Councilman, first of all, good to talk to you, but I understand the star has been stolen from atop the tree.
So, first of all, let me get to that. You mentioned the USS Arizona, though. There is an amazing display on the U of A Mall also of the USS Arizona. They have put placards, copper medallions is the right word, copper medallions representing all of the lost people, Americans who were lost in that attack, around the mall, right outside the student union. And it's in the shape of the ship. And then sort of at the west end of the mall, there's some flags and some memorial placards that kind of describe what happened. And it's all in the shape of the ship. And when you get up to that western end and the concrete area where the flag is, it's in the shape of the helm of the control room of the ship itself. It's very cool. It's outdoors. People can walk up and enjoy it. Enjoy it in quotes. I guess you don't enjoy that, but reflect on the incident. So may this be a good day to do it. So last weekend, well, first of all, back in August, we started collecting non-recyclable plastics, and you and I have had that conversation in previous shows. So far, the community has brought to the ward office north of 28 tons of plastic, and that's
wow.
Plastic. It's bubble wrap. It's empty Coke bottles and things like that. So we're not talking about 28 tons of concrete. And the community is bringing by between 1.5 and 2 tons per week and putting them into the roll-off. And what we're doing is we're working with a company called Bifusion and creating construction-grade blocks out of the plastic that we're collecting. We've already built some projects. We've built some benches over in Himmel Park and a trash enclosure out at El Pueblo Center. We're in conversation with a veterans group up in Phoenix to build the interior walls of some military transitional housing. We're going to do some projects off the U of A campus, some walls surrounding some surface parking lots. Over the weekend, we thought it would be kind of fun to invite the public in. And on kind of rainy Saturday, we met outside the ward office, and a couple hundred people showed up. And just to demonstrate how easy it is to build with these things, we in about 30 minutes, we built a 7-foot-tall and 7-foot wingspan holiday tree.
Huh.
And it's very cool. And, we put it up, like I say, in about 30 minutes and wrapped it with lights and put a star up on top. And last night at 3:30 in the morning, we have a video of some guy who wasn't just some homeless guy who kind of stumbled on the thing. His guy drove up, turned around, came back, made a special trip, climbed up the tree.
What?
And stole the star off the top.
What in the world?
Yeah, 3:30 in the morning. So I'm going to do everything I can to make him famous with the video images. We've got him on tape, and I suspect he's shameless, and so he's not going to bring our star back. It's probably worth $1.50 at Walgreens, right? But it's just, come on, man, really? You're going to just do that at 3:30 in the morning? So anyway, kind of a he's the first touch of Grinch during the holiday season, and hopefully the last, and the rest of the holiday season will be all on the up and up, and companies like Mona's and the rest can enjoy the holiday season, and we'll take the first Grinch hit.
Yeah, I hope we don't see the likes of this guy again.
It's just stupid stupid.
Just
stupid stuff.
The Goldwater Institute has sent a letter to you and your fellow council people. They are not at all happy with the city of Tucson, again. The letter said Pima County cannot adequately resolve the underlying problem without the city of Tucson's involvement. They're talking about the problem of homelessness and crime. And they say that the city is refusing to engage in talking about this.
Well, so they're wrong. We had a very lengthy conversation at the study session just yesterday about our approach to homelessness and our partnership with Pima County. And this is not just something that just popped up on the radar screen. And one of the points that I made yesterday was that I have been directly in touch with the county on this for literally for months. Met with Chris Nanos and a guy named Dan Sullivan, who runs the Pima County One Stop Center, probably 4 months ago. Began the conversation about using the county annex building, former jail, but they're not. It's not bars and things. We're not talking about criminalizing the homeless and putting them behind bars, but using what is now a vacant space for a pretrial triage center to get people the option to get involved in services. Also, with a component for housing on site. There are rooms for detox. There are rooms for commercial kitchen, that kind of thing, and breakout rooms so people can meet with counselors and hopefully get them back on their feet. So that's just one example. Another would be the I've spoken with Jan Lesher from the county and Mike Ortega and Liz Morales, our housing director, about purchasing some of the warehouses that are up for sale right now, some of them along the Miracle Mile Strip, for instance. The county is already talking about buying one out in the Valencia Drexel area to use for a combination of homeless / asylum seekers south of the border. So that's a conversation that's happening. We're having the conversation with the county about standing up a homeless court to give people the opportunity to seek services as opposed to simply be incarcerated, which basically does nobody any good. It is a misnomer. It's just false to suggest that the city and the county are not working together. Now, I want to throw a caveat into this. There is a line that is crossed between our compassionate approach to homelessness and when they cross the line and it simply turned into criminal activity. Another point that I made yesterday at the meeting was that TPD needs to continue their work. The city has not put handcuffs on the Tucson Police Department and said you may not respond to criminal violations. It doesn't matter if somebody's homeless or not, if they're threatening people with weapons, if they're breaking into and burglarizing businesses, if it's open-air drug use. Those are actionable items, and TPD does have the authority and have been working arresting people and booking them into jail. One of the challenges that we have is with a county entity, and that is with the Pima County Attorney's Office. They have made it, Laura Conover has made it very clear that she's not going to be incarcerating and not going to be charging homeless unless it's a pretty clear violation of criminal law. That's not helpful to TPD, and it's really not helpful when they book somebody and they are literally back in the same area where they were arrested before the cops are done filling out their paperwork. So we need sort of flipping the Goldwater narrative on its side. We need the support of the Pima County Attorney's Office in being a tool that TPD can use effectively when criminal activity is occurring. And I'm not talking about somebody standing on the median panhandling or something like that. I'm talking about serious criminal activity. There's a company called Mercantile Market on Speedway. I met over there a couple of months ago with TPD and their ownership. There was a guy that walked in threatening customers with a machete. Mm. Okay, so that's not just some guy acting out, stealing a star off the top of a Christmas tree. Mm. That's somebody who needs to be booked into Pima County Jail and charged. We had over a play it against sports. Somebody broke in the middle of the night and stole 15 to 20 bicycles. Again, that's not someone stealing a star off a Christmas tree. That's somebody who needs to be booked into Pima County Jail and charged with grand theft. So there are lines that are crossed, and we need this. We, the city, need the support of the Pima County Attorney. But to suggest that the city is not cooperating is simply false. I mean, I've given you four or five examples right off the top. Mm. What we do need, though, and I pointed this out again yesterday, in addition to the homeless court, we need 300 to 500 beds of no low barrier shelter space for men. We have serviced roughly 415 homeless people out of various housing units that the city has. That's the Wildcat Inn and some other hotels that the city has bought. That's 400 out of, say, 4,000 on a given night. And so we have a capacity issue that we need, the city needs to work, and we are working with the county also in funding these no low barrier shelter options. And frankly, some of the challenges that we have are COVID-related, and the reason for that is because COVID has decreased the capacity of all of the existing shelters in terms of the space available. And I'll give you one example. Casa Elitas is the county facility where we've been housing some of the migrants, some of the asylum seekers. And I understand that's not homeless, but it's by way of example in terms of shelter space. They began with about a capacity of about 350. They're at about 150 to 200 right now because of COVID, because of the social distancing and the fact that you can't keep people so closely housed together. So we've had things working against us, but I will tell you that we are actively engaged. The city manager meets on a weekly basis with the county administrator. So Mike Ortega meets with Jan Lesher on a weekly basis. This is on our agenda. It's on the county's agenda, County Board of Supervisors agenda regularly. I attended a meeting with business owners about a month ago that frankly turned into a Trump rally. And it was all about City of Tucson. The city council needs to be recalled and the mayor needs to be recalled. I will tell you, Bill, that was an opportunity missed.
Mm-hmm.
We had at that meeting, I was there, Rex Scott was there, Mike Ortega, Jan Lesher, Chris Nanos, Chad Kazmar, our chief of police, and Laura Conover. We were all there, and there were probably 200 business people over in the Flowing Wells area who were there. And for the first 45 minutes, they just went off saying, city council needs to be recalled, and there's one adult in the room, and that's Jan Lesher, and the rest of you need to stand aside. You know, if that's the level of dialogue that you want to have, you will never again have that group of people in the same room.
Yeah.
There to participate in a constructive dialogue. So, yes, but anyway. We're working it.
All right. Let's talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. I know, Steve, you and your family have enjoyed in the past the Danish Kringle. Steve and the team up there are encouraging everybody to think about a Kringle for the holidays, whether it be Christmas morning, Christmas Eve morning. I know you and your family have enjoyed the Kringle, and you hope to have another one.
Oh, we'll be there, no doubt. And people need to get there early because it's going to be a busy weekend. Christmas Eve and Christmas Day are on a Saturday, Sunday this week. So
yep.
Probably going to be lines out the door on Thursday and Friday.
You bet. Northeast Corner, Swan and Sunrise open right now for lunch. Put your order in for your dessert on Christmas. You can go to Mona's Danish Bakery.com or just better yet, walk into the bakery and place your order with the team. They're open 6:30 Tuesday through Saturday, open at 7 Sunday morning. They do take now a well-deserved day off on Monday. More with Steve Kasachek right after this.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Buckmaster show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this Pearl Harbor Day. Green things, we love green things. They're really gearing up for the holidays. This is the place for all of your poinsettias. They've got some beautiful items imported from Mexico, like a punched tin Christmas tree. Put a light under it. Looks really good. Green Things, 3384 East River Road, their website, greenthingsaz.com, and their sister business on the 13-acre site is zocalovillage.com. They're open daily. They're in their 52nd year of business. So check it out. They are ready for the holidays. Our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We go back now on the live line with Tucson City Councilman, Democrat, representing the 6th Ward, Steve Kasachek. Steve, during the break, listener Michael, wanted me to ask you. Michael says, please ask Steve to comment on how his low barrier housing has destroyed the Silver Saddle steakhouse business.
I have no idea what he's talking about. We don't have the low barrier housing that we're looking for yet. What I said in the first segment was that what we need to do, and I've put this on both Mike Ortega and Jan Lesher's radar screen, is that there are several warehouse buildings that are vacant that are up for sale on the Miracle Mile area. We need to look into purchasing one of those, segmenting it off so that it's available for use as a low, no-barrier shelter where people can get services. They can also come in out of the elements and get the treatment, the services they need. But we don't have that shelter now. That's my point, is that our lack of that means people are sleeping in alleys and they're sleeping in washes, and that's exactly the point that I was making. I don't know what's going on at the Silver Saddle, but we do not have a low-barrier shelter with the capacity, nearly the capacity that we need, and I don't even know where the Silver Saddle is, frankly.
All right, what about refugees? We're going to have an influx coming in. Are we prepared?
Well, we haven't been prepared for the last, I'll call it 5 or 6 years, and we had challenges back when we were doing this at the Benedictine, this being sort of the midpoint stop for refugees between their arrest at the border and their processing, and then they're being passed on to next of kin or a sponsor. We did this at the Benedictine for a while. Of course, that's now a finished product in housing, and so we're doing it at Casa Elitas. The city has joined the county in standing up a couple of hotels. That is a very cost inefficient way to do the transitioning that we're doing, and the people are not here for extended periods of time. Again, in the 30,000 foot view of the process is that they present themselves at the border. Border Patrol arrests them. They process them so that they are here legally when they are turned over to the Casa Elitas folks. They're here legally pending the adjudication of their asylum case. So it is incorrect. I know Ingrid last time called in and said that we were harboring illegals. It is incorrect to say that they are here illegally. Once Border Patrol passes them off to Casa Elitas, they are here legally pending the rest of their process. They're here for a day or two. We, the Casa Elitas staff, we make contact with next of kin or a sponsor, get them on a plane, get them on a bus, paid for by the sponsor or the person who's seeking asylum. There's not tax money involved in buying plane tickets either. And they're in here and out of here in a couple of days. We have been seeing numbers in the roughly 400 range per day, which exceeds the capacity of Casa Elitas, which is the reason we've stood up additional space in hotels. And I mentioned also in the earlier segment that the county is looking at buying a large structure on the Drexel Valencia area to be used for a combination of asylum seekers and homeless people, kind of quadranting it off so that we're not mixing the populations. But that is a function of, to direct answer your question, that is a function of the fact that we don't have the capacity, do not have the capacity for the numbers of people that we're seeing right now on a given night.
All right, what about your wrap-up? This is our last visit with you for 2022. What kind of year has this been for the city?
Well, it's been a challenging year because we've been coming out of COVID, and now we're seeing the RSV and the flu viruses hitting too. I can tell you that I've had 4 people in my office, plus their families, hit by any of a combination of those. We were at a council meeting yesterday where the mayor was out because of COVID. Another council member has just come out of it, and so was wearing a mask the entire day. This is hitting the entire community, and it just didn't pop up in the last month. This has been something we've been dealing with all year. So I am mildly confident that once we get through this season, you know, people are going to be back on their feet and gathering. But I guess this may not be a direct answer to your question. I guess I would caution people as they enter the holiday season to look at indoor gatherings with a cautious eye. Wear a mask if you're in a vulnerable category. Get your flu vaccine. I'm done telling people or suggesting to people to get their COVID vaccine because you either are or you're not by now. But flu vaccines should be non-controversial, and avoid the closed spaces with all this respiratory stuff going on. It's for real, and people are still getting it. In fact, there's one guy I was talking to yesterday, city employee, whose 20-something-year-old daughter has both the flu and RSV simultaneously.
Oh,
I mean, that's tough stuff.
And, yeah.
You know, so you know that. So I guess a year-end word of caution is, you know, these holiday gatherings are meant to be fun stuff, and if you have to wear a mask, it shouldn't diminish your enjoyment of being around your family and loved ones.
Top two stories of 2023, my prediction for the city of Tucson, water and the situation with crime and getting enough police officers. Would you agree with that?
I would absolutely agree that water is the number one, two, and three most important issue that we are facing as not just the city of Tucson, but as in the entire Southwest. The Bureau of Reclamation is up to the ante on us yet again, and us being the seven basin states using the Colorado River. We are also continually working with the Department of Defense to try and clean up the PFAS contamination. We are installing a treatment well now just north of Randolph Park to begin that process. But absolutely, water has to be at the top of the list. As far as TPD and hiring is concerned, we have an open till filled policy, and the city manager.
10 seconds, Steve.
Okay, the city manager and the council have told them overhire if you need to because of the attrition.
Hope you and your family have a wonderful holiday season. Thank you very much.
You do the same. Take care of yourself.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. The following segment presented by the Reed Park Zoo, home to over 300 animals from all over the world, welcoming some 500,000 visitors annually. Joining us on the live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, Nancy Kluge, the president and CEO of the Reed Park Zoological Society. Hey, Nancy, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Bill?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. This is a really big and very important time of year at the Reed Park Zoo. You've got so much going on, including Zoo Lights. What's that all about, Nancy?
Oh, Zoo Lights is so much fun. It's a holiday tradition and something we look forward to every year at Reed Park Zoo. Our crews started hanging lights in August, and so now the zoo is just all decked out for the holidays.
Are there special hours then so folks can come and see the lights?
Yeah, so we're open 6 to 9 every night. So the zoo's open 9 to 4, and then we close down for a couple hours to get everything set up for Zoo Lights, and then open 6 to 9 every evening. It'll be going on through December 23rd, and then open up again without Santa, because he'll be gone back to the North Pole, for Encore Nights, December 26th to 30th.
The zoo certainly is a fixture, of course, in our community, but you also celebrate giving back, Nancy, to several community collections that benefit some nonprofits. How does that work, Nancy?
Yeah, we love having different community groups participate. One way we do that is through our entertainment. We've had some of the school groups out. We had a mariachi group from one of the middle schools out last night. And then we also have shopping nights with local artisans. But one of our favorite ways is to be able to benefit some of our great nonprofits here in Tucson. If you bring in 2 cans of food for the community food bank, or a new toy for La Frontera or Tucson A-List, or even dog or cat food or toys for the Humane Society, you get $1 off your admission. So that's one way that we can help our deserving nonprofits to help families, children, and even pets in need.
Nancy, what's this about the enrichment tree? I understand this has to do with if you've got a favorite animal or animals at the zoo, you can give in the name of the enrichment tree.
Yeah, so just like how some of us have been putting our wish lists together, or I know I've gotten mine from my kids, our animals have their own wish list too of what they want for the holidays. So our animal care team has compiled for them a list of enrichment items that the animals will love. They're items that will provide exercise, extra interest, and mental or physical stimulation to add to their day, and just something fun and different. Things like our dwarf screaming hairy armadillo, quite a name there. His name is Jovi, and his wish list is for an exercise wheel. And then for our white rhinos, Fireball and Yabanga, they have on their wish list some food puzzle feeders. In our Conservation Learning Center, you'll see an enrichment tree, and you can take an ornament off of it, and it'll have an item for an animal, and you can go purchase it and bring it to the zoo. You can also go on Amazon wish list and look for Reed Park Zoo and pick an item, and it tells you which animal it'll be for. And then the gifts can be shipped directly to the zoo or brought with you on your next visit. And you can see the animals enjoying their gifts either when you visit, or we'll be posting some videos on our social media as well.
Nancy Kluge is with us. She is the head of the Reed Park Zoological Society. It's been quite a year for the Reed Park Zoo and all the talk about expansion. Give us an update, Nancy. Where are we with all of that?
We're at a really exciting time. So we had an extensive community conversation, which I think was the end result is really terrific. It's a win-win for people who visit Reed Park as well as the zoo, and we'll be expanding into an area that's currently all asphalt and not using any green space in the park, and we'll actually be converting 45% of that into green space and planting hundreds of trees. We're set to break ground on a new parking lot for the zoo in January. Once that parking lot's complete, we're going to start on Pathway to Asia, which will be located in our current parking lot. Lots of great new species people are very excited about. I keep getting asked about the Komodo dragons, the red pandas, and then, of course, we'll be bringing tigers back to Reed Park Zoo and a terrific, huge habitat for these amazing cats that are so highly endangered.
The zoo membership is a great bargain. I know my wife and I take pride in being members of the zoo. It is a great facility. But a full year of admission is included, and it's really a good bargain, isn't it, Nancy?
It is. And even with Zoo Lights, our members get $3 off, and then we have Member Mondays with half off for all of our members on Monday nights for Zoo Lights. But also for our zoo members to get to take part in the zoo year-round, and this year is jam-packed with exciting things at the zoo. We've got giant robotic bugs coming January 28th through early May. And it's kind of like our dinosaurs we had last year. There's going to be a 17-foot-tall praying mantis.
Wow.
And ants and 38 of these different creatures that will make sounds and move. And that will all be included with zoo admission and will be free for members. Bugs are really important to our environment, and by seeing them enlarged thousands of times over, we hope people can really get a feel for their amazing anatomy and the crucial role they play in our lives and the world's ecosystems. We also have a new sloth exhibit opening this year, and coming in the summer of next year, summer of 23, we'll be opening the new Angel Charity for Children World of Play, which will be a nature play zone where kids can explore the world as they whoosh down an Arctic tunnel, climb up a giant sequoia tree, or explore the rainforest floor. So this coming year is going to be a great year for our members to get great use out of those zoo memberships.
What's the best place to find out more about how to get involved with our zoo?
The best place is on our website at reedparkzoo.org. On our website, there'll be a place you can click to sign up for our e-newsletter, and that way you can be the first to be in the know for what new activities are coming up at Reed Park Zoo.
One thing we haven't mentioned is about volunteers. I know volunteers are important, aren't they?
They are absolutely important, and we could not do with what we do without our terrific volunteers. On our website also, you'll find an area that says Get Involved, and you'll see area both for volunteers and for employment at the zoo, and encourage you to check out both of those areas. But boy, we just love our volunteers. We have over 100 docents who are out in the zoo educating people, but we also have volunteers that help out with our goats. They help out at events and checking people out in line and all sorts of different ways.
And we also should do a huge shout out to your staff. You've got some of the most dedicated people who really, really do care for these animals.
I tell you, they are amazing, and I am honored each day to work with such a passionate group of people. I often say my only job is to make sure they've got the resources they need to do the amazing work they do, because they're passionate, they're creative, and they are so above all caring for the animals and wanting to protect them in the wild and make that connection with people so that they can learn what they can do to help protect animals in the wild.
Nancy, I wish you and all of your wonderful staff a wonderful holiday season, and we'll see you at the Reed Park Zoo. Thank you very much, Nancy.
Thank you, Bill. Happy holidays to you and yours as well.
Thank you very much. We'll take a break right here. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio. Up next, how to cope with holiday stress.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio. If you're looking for a great getaway, a lot of people with time off over the holidays, how about a three-hour drive proximal east of Tucson to a beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, ready to welcome visitors with open arms. You can find out about all the things to do, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. Great getaway. We send so many of our Buckmaster Show listeners from Tucson over to that beautiful area of New Mexico. Well, the most wonderful time of the year quickly becomes one filled with stress and anxiety for many people. After all, there's so much to do, and the clock is running, quickly running out before Christmas. Let's go now on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, to Toronto, Ontario, Canada, for a chat with one of Canada's highest-rated clinical psychologists, Dr. Monica Vermani. Dr. Vermani is the author of A Deeper Wellness, Conquering Stress, Mood, Anxiety, and Traumas. Dr. Vermani, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Thank you. It's our pleasure. This is a very difficult time of year. So many people have high expectations. The expectations don't come true in some cases. Let's talk a little bit about coping strategies.
there's a lot of stress around at this time of the year. It's year end for a lot of businesses. There's a lot of people feeling stretched and overstretched during the last month of this year, where, you know, you're worried about gift giving, social obligations, hosting. Sometimes we just feel overstretched to cram everything into this one month. And we also sometimes forget that there's some people out there who don't celebrate the holidays and don't have a lot of extended family and friends. And so it is a time that feels stressful, feels emotional, can bring up grieving, can bring up a lot of abuse from childhood and dysfunction from your upbringing. And now you're seeing your family members. So it's a time that comes with a perplexed, you know, bundle of emotions. And it is a good time for us to look at coping and how to manage and also recognize that we have a whole year coming forth after December. And it is nice for us to manage expectations, but also have a lot of compassion for ourselves and others. During this time, you will find there's more of a, you know, rat race going on in the malls, and people are feeling, you know, stressed out by the limits that they want to put on their spending or managing expectations of gift giving. You know, sometimes it's nice for us to manage stress by also coming up with strategies to cope, like replacing gift giving with something new, like an adventure or fundraising or helping each other, you know, bake together, cook together, do a movie night, and allow ourselves to be vulnerable enough to ask for help, share the burden of a holiday feast by, you know, bringing guests and asking them to also potluck and bring a meal to help, a favorite side dish, appetizer, or dessert. By having people pitch in to help with cleanup or prep, you don't feel so overwhelmed and tired. Take care of not overindulging in alcohol and drugs. This time of the year, we all get stressed out with needing something to take the edge off the stress. And many times that extra glass of wine every day does have a wear and tear. After all, alcohol and drugs can be a depressant in our nervous system and not cause us healthy concerns, but leave us with hangovers and feeling lethargic and a little bit more tired in this time. Setting limits on your socializing. Many times we feel overwhelmed to meet everybody and see everybody. Do what is comfortable. After this pandemic, many people are not feeling that comfortable being overstretched with socializing as much as they once did. And it's remembering that people matter in your life, but you don't have to see everybody this month. You can spread it out. And also being compassionate that the people who are not celebrating the holidays or don't have loved ones around might be feeling isolated, disappointed. You can define your holidays as whatever you like it to be. It can be a time of self-care. It can be a time of creating new traditions and, you know, reaching out and asking for help or reaching out to meetups and other groups where other people who are in similar boats can connect and enjoy the holidays in the way that feels suited to them.
Dr. Vermani, is there a simple way to stop an anxiety attack? Is there something that you have found, a strategy that will stop it dead in its tracks?
Yes, breathing. Here and now, learning to connect to the here and now is the best way. And the only thing that takes place moment to moment in the here and now is your breath.
Wow.
Just even pausing amongst feeling stressed out or having panic attacks or feeling overwhelmed. Simple 5-second inhale, 5-second hold, 5-second exhale, 5-second hold. This is called the box method breathing. Is a simple way. Repeat it 5 to 10 times and just ground yourself in the here and now. Another way to do that is also just connecting to your senses. And so by focusing on your breath, connect to your senses of feeling the warm air, you know, coming into your nostrils, or the cool air coming into your nostrils and the warm air, you know, when you exhale out, feeling your abdomen or your chest inflate and deflate. Allow yourself to really connect to the moment and try to do one thing with complete presence. Many times we're multitasking and that gets us overwhelmed, gets us in our head ruminating and thinking about worst case scenarios or feeling overstretched. We're never present with one thing with complete presence, and that's being mindful. And so learning to live in the here and now is a very fast way of grounding. And if you find that hard to do to get out of your head, simply breathing. 6 seconds or 5 seconds of a breath, depending on your capacity, doing it morning, afternoon, and night. I even have patients who put an alarm on their phone and at periodical times throughout the day, just pause, do 10 breaths and go back to their work or go back to their chores or emails. It's important for us to just tune into your body and just ground itself once in a while when you get caught up in the rat race of your head and all the responsibilities you have to carry forward.
Should we worry about New Year's resolutions? It puts so much stress on people. Oh, I've got to lose 10 pounds in January.
Yeah. It's important for us to do a pause and reflection, I think, throughout the year, not just at New Year's. We put a lot of pressure as it's a new year, so maybe it's a new beginning. But each and every day is a new beginning, and I always tell people to correct and continue. Wake up in the morning with a correct and continue attitude of trying to do the best thing you can for you to live a life that is in your highest and best, whether that's eating properly, getting enough rest, taking breaks throughout the day, bringing in joy. You got to live each day as if it's your last. And so are you bringing in 3 to 5 things of little things that bring you joy just to take the edge off the responsibilities and the stress that comes with carrying forth daily activities and functioning? So it's important for us to recognize it's not about New Year's resolutions. That's just a nice day for us to maybe pause during the holidays on a moment of rest to look at what are some goals. I always see Christmas and New Year's as a nice time to reflect on how far have I grown. And then where would I like to grow? Your future is imagination. It hasn't happened yet. So imagine how wonderful you can manifest it. Plant the goal of a vision board or ideas of where you would like to take life and aim to strive taking baby steps, gradual baby steps towards it. And that's what goal setting really should be about, planting the seed of where you want to see your life go and then looking at actionable steps to help you get there and look at also obstacles that hold you back from getting where you want to be. That's where therapy comes in. Therapy sometimes shows you your obstacles and blind spots that hold you back. But it's not about the start of a new year that should be stressful. Each and every day should be a correct and continue where you are trying to align with a better version of yourself, whether that's sleeping more, taking one thing off your to-do list, delegating, looking at mood and anxiety and maybe finding better ways to cope with it. Our journey is to try to be a better version of ourselves, not only for us, but for others. We want a better world. It starts with you. You know, when you're in pain, you spill over onto others and dysfunction and anxiety and role modeling unhealthy behaviors. But when you're in a place of health and well-being and groundedness, you also have a ripple effect affecting others around you at workplaces and your family with health and well-being.
All right, Dr. Monica Vermani, our listeners, after listening to you, probably want to find out more about you. Where can they find out about the book? Where do they find out about what you're up to? What's the deal?
My book, A Deeper Wellness, is available on Amazon, and it's a workbook as well as a great psychoeducation book on how to manage stress, mood, anxiety, and traumas. And you can find me on my website, drmonicavermani.com. I'm also on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. You can find me everywhere. During the pandemic, I've been writing articles on how to better ourselves, to be a higher, better version of ourselves, education on substance abuse, mood, anxiety, and traumas. Take charge of your health and take a look at my website. You can find everything there.
All right. Dr. Monica, thank you so much for being with us. I want to wish you and yours a wonderful holiday season, and thanks for joining us from Toronto. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. Some very good advice from Dr. Vermani. I'll have to try breathe in for 5, I think she said, then out, exhale for 5. Try that 5 or 10 times. That's good to know for somebody in the radio business doing a live show. All right. Hope everybody has a great afternoon. Thanks, Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing. Dave Ramsey is next. Have a great afternoon, everybody.